You're listening to The Takeaway from WNYC and PRI in collaboration with the BBC World Service, The New York Times, and WGBH Radio Boston.
We had a discussion in our newsroom here about what stories we should bring back, which guests we should bring back at the end of the year. Those conversations that stuck with us the most compelling discussions we had. And when they asked me, the very first thing I thought was, let's bring back the guy who lived without doorknobs. Megan Flood spoke with us just in September. She had recently completed her multimedia senior project at the University of Michigan. Go Blue. She spent weeks speaking to the people who lived in Camp Take Notice, which is a homeless tent community in Ann Arbor, Michigan.
I miss the indoors so much. I miss having a doorknob, I miss having a door and a door frame. That if I did get a door where you open it up and it creaks, I'd probably leave it that way just so it would make noise. Because I could fix it. You could oil it. You could tighten the screws or whatever. You'd appreciate it. It would remind you that it's there and that it should be appreciated.
That's the voice of Joe Gill, who is one of the subjects of Megan's project. She also asked Joe to take photographs of the camp where he lived, and his photographs became part of her project, which she finished in May, and also this lovely, very limited publishing of a book, Living Without Doorknobs. And they both join us now. Megan is with us in studio, and Joe Gill joins us as well. Good morning to both of you.
Good morning. Good morning. Thanks for having me back.
Joe, when we first spoke with Megan, although we were talking about the time when you were living in this tent community, you'd gotten a job, right?
Correct. I had a job pretty much the whole time that I was homeless there.
But you not enough to get you your own place.
Correct. I mean, I was making enough money to afford an apartment or a room, but there would be absolutely no money left over for, you know, food, clothing. Rent's a little expensive in Ann Arbor, so.
Yeah, you're no kidding. What has happened since then?
Since then, I'm now living in another state. I'm still not making the kind of money that I would like to make, but I'm living with family, and pretty soon, actually, I had two job offers last week, so within about a two-week period, I should be making triple what I'm making now, and hopefully
wow.
I will be able to afford a place of my own.
But you have a door, even if it's not
I
your very
a door.
Own.
Correct.
I wanted to play you another something else that you commented on while you were working, when Megan was working on her project, Living Without Doorknobs, and we played this in September. Take a listen.
I try not to look homeless, but sometimes when I walk around, I have a complex that people are looking at me and thinking that I'm homeless, but I know I don't look homeless.
You know, I have to wonder, Joe, is that the kind of thing that stays with you? I mean, even, let's say, 5 years from now when you're hopefully have your own place, maybe in your own home, and you're doing well and thriving, but does that feeling that people are looking at you and judging you, that I was once homeless and living in a tent, does that stay with you?
Well, at the time, you know, there's a lot of stigma attached to somebody who's, you know, homeless. And, you know, I never thought it would happen to me. I grew up, you know, in an upper middle class family. We had, you know, I had everything I needed. And, you know, when the economy went down after, especially after 9/11, and the stock market went down and I lost my business and, you know, it could happen to anybody. That's what Megan said. And you know, if you don't, I've never been much of a saver, but I have, you know, I've been involved in two class action suits regarding stock. And if you make the wrong decisions, it really could happen to anybody.
And it has happened to a lot of people who maybe never expected it like you did, Joe.
True. I mean, my parents lost $550,000 on Enron.
Oh, my gosh.
So I don't think too much of Kenneth Lay. It wasn't everything that they had, but it was a chunk.
Yeah, that's a lot of money.
A chunk of their investments.
That is Joe Gill. He was featured in Megan Flood's senior project while she was at the University of Michigan. And so, Megan, I have to ask you, this is Joe talking about how this experience has changed him. How did it end up changing you?
I mean, this project was extremely emotional from the start. You know, I wanted to do this project on homelessness. And I, you know, the numbers out there, there's statistics, but with any major issue, it's always important to have the human element. And, you know, just interacting with Joe, on a weekly basis throughout those 8 months. Just extremely emotional. I just learned more about myself in this whole process than I ever did, you know, my whole life.
But I wonder, you know, you've moved on. You now have a job with a pretty high-powered creative firm in New Jersey, right?
New York City.
New York
Millennium
City.
Fox.
Okay. And I wonder how often this project, these conversations come back to you in your daily life.
Honestly, I think about Joe and this project every day, every time. I mean, not every time I touch a doorknob, but pretty often I always think about things that Joe has said and even things that he's taught me throughout life. I mean, in our conversations, just not relating about homelessness, but he taught me once, you know, that he wanted to always be a photographer and that he was, you know, hesitant to do that because there are so many people that are better than him. But he said, no matter what you do in life, there will always be somebody that's better than you. So just always do what you want to do.
Oh, but Joe, your photographs are great. And honestly, I wish my kitchen were as organized as yours was in a tent community. You know, Joe, I wonder what it must be like for you to be kind of the voice that brings homelessness home to them. I mean, we got an incredible response from the listeners of The Takeaway. And I thought to myself, what must it be like to think I'm the person that's helping people understand what it is to be homeless? I mean, that must have its pros and its cons.
It was a great project to work on. I never thought it would go this far. I never thought that a year and a half from now we'd both be on NPR. So it's pretty amazing.
PRI, and, Joe, Public Radio International.
Right. And I keep Megan's book. She gave me the copy that was in the art gallery, and I keep it on my bookshelf, and occasionally I look through it.
Is that a sad process to look through that?
No, not really. Well, being homeless really, you know, I never thought I'd be homeless in my life, and I never, prior to being homeless, I never stayed in a tent in my life. But I learned a lot, and I learned that I could survive. And actually, I had a really good time. There was somebody at a homeless camp, one of my good friends, and he taught me everything there was to know about camping. And I actually had a really good time living in the winter in Michigan in a tent.
Well,
my tent was organized. It was warm. I had a propane heater. I couldn't afford rent, but I could always at least afford propane heater. And even when it was 5 degrees outside, my tent was 80 on the inside. It was actually pretty comfortable.
You know, Megan, you write a blog as well, right? And you've
yes.
gotten a ton of response. And I wonder what people's responses. I have to feel that if this recession has done anything, it's helped people like me, people who've grown up pretty comfortable and pretty secure most of their lives, understand how precarious we all can be and how close we all can be to Joe's situation. I mean, and I wonder if that's what the stories you hear on your blog.
Definitely. I mean, especially since I was on in September, the response has been great. Even people just saying, you know, I've started volunteering or I'm, you know, motivated to volunteer. I've donated money to homeless organizations. That has just been so fulfilling for me just to see the feedback.
And for you, Joe, I mean, do you think that Americans at this point understand? I can't imagine, even though I feel like listening to you, listening to Megan, other stories like yours helps me understand homelessness better. I can't imagine anyone can truly understand what that's like until they've lived it.
That's true. You really don't. You really can't grasp like the everyday, situations that a homeless person has to deal with. Especially like when it comes to like trying to find a job. I mean, everything takes 2 to 3 times longer. Just the preparation, you know, putting on clothing in a tent, and just everything that you need to do in order to, you know, function. Everything takes 2 to 3 times longer when you're homeless.
So, do you think America is a more compassionate place now that so many of us have been struggling so hard?
I think so. I mean, I like to think so.
Joe Gill was featured in Megan's senior project when he lived in a tent city in Ann Arbor, Michigan. It's called Living Without Doorknobs, which also is the name of this beautiful book of Joe's photography. Megan Flood, artist and graphic designer whose senior project at the University of Michigan became Living Without Doorknobs. Thanks to both of you.
Thank you.
Thank you very much.
There's a lot going on right now. Mounting economic inequality, threats to democracy, environmental disaster, the sour stench of chaos in the air. I'm Brooke Gladstone, host of WNYC's On the Media. Want to understand the reasons and the meanings of the narratives that led us here, and maybe how to head them off at the pass? That's On the Media's specialty. Take a listen wherever you get your podcasts.